encouraging us to give to this, as we've been talking about in the month of May and one more time today. We want to encourage you, if you have not given to the Youth Camp Scholarship Fund, to do that. You can go to altamesa.org, our public website, go to the tab About Us, click Give, and you can give securely to the Youth Camp Scholarship Fund. We thank you if you've already given to this worthy cause and goal, and we pray that you will give if you have not yet. Also want you to know, exciting news, we know about two baptisms that are going to happen at the beginning of second service after the first song. And so after Bible class, if you would like to stay and witness those two baptisms, one is DeBron Drury, and the other is a young lady named Christine, who has recently been coming. Stephen's been visiting with her, and she has made it very clear that she's ready to give her life to the Lord. And so we're grateful for that. So if you'd like to stay for those two baptisms after Bible class, we would love for you to come in and witness those as a church family. Join me in this prayer. O God, who guided the hearts of the faithful by the light of your Holy Spirit, give us the Spirit to become truly wise and ever rejoice in your goodness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word for his people from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. From the beginning of time, humanity has had an insatiable desire to gain wisdom. We just want to know what to do in any specific situation. You may have a ton of credit card debt or maybe school loan debt to pay off. Anybody else in that situation? Amen. 6 years of private Christian education. Still working on that. And we wonder, how am I going to pay this off? How am I going to get rid of this? But maybe some of you are in a marriage today that is stagnant, or maybe it's emotionally detached. And you often wonder to yourself, how can we get back to that place of authentic love? And maybe for others, it's problems at work. And you wonder to yourself, is it me? Or is it my work environment, the people I work with? Is it my boss, or is it a combination of all of those things? And you seek wisdom to know what step to take next. In all of these situations, amongst many others, we want wisdom, and we want it quickly. And maybe that's our greatest problem, that we want wisdom right now. We desperately want wisdom, but we want it now. We view wisdom as some kind of magical pill or silver bullet or an apple to take a bite of so that our eyes will be opened. But the truth is, wisdom is a journey. It's a process. It's a pursued pathway with God that is walked with Him, and it's realized and lived over time. And as we talked about last week, as we go down this pathway of wisdom, it begins with humbling ourselves before God and seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And while we're on this pursuit of wisdom, we discover practices and we refine practices like a non-anxious presence, learning how to really listen. We've talked about these things over the past several weeks. And all of this leads to a greater understanding and practice of wisdom. So for today, what I want us to consider, what I want us to think about is this additional on-ramp, if you will, to our pursued pathway of wisdom. If we desire wisdom with God and from God, we must involve others along the way. Listen closely to this truth. You can't build a life of wisdom by yourself. You just can't. You can try. And you may think you're forging ahead and making some progress, but at some point along the way, you're going to realize this is not working. It's impossible to do this. But by surrounding ourselves with godly people that can speak life and love and light into our lives, greater wisdom can be found. And God's word is full of teaching and principles that remind us of the power of healthy friendships and meaningful community. Whether it's your friends at school, or maybe your friends in our youth group, maybe it's your neighbors next door or across the street or a combination of that, maybe it's your coworkers at work that share common Christian values, maybe it is your spouse, maybe for you though it's extended family, or maybe it's a carefully selected group of people that you've chosen to be your inner circle, just as Jesus did. But here's the thing. As disciples, it is imperative that we choose wisely our friendships and our daily interactions so that we're becoming more and more like God. Now, let me be very clear so you don't misunderstand me this morning. This does not mean that all of your relationships, all of your friends, all your acquaintances have to believe and live exactly like you do. That's not what I'm saying, because I don't believe that. Jesus is our example, right? He was friends and acquaintances with all kinds of people. He led the way in this. He left the door open for conversations that mattered. He listened well. He loved well. But I do believe that we should make this differentiation. Those who can speak into our lives, those that have influence on how we live, we must choose these people wisely, judiciously. Choose them carefully according to the person that it is you want to become in Christ and where it is that you want to end up. Where is your destination and who's going to help you get there? So let me just ask you, who are those people that you trust in your life? To speak godly wisdom, to lead by example, to point in the right direction, the pathway of wisdom. While we're thinking about that and while we're seeking wisdom from God, think about these things. God's word clearly communicates that our community shapes our character. Our community shapes our character. That's why it's so vital to, first of all, develop healthy friendships. I want you to listen to the wise sage from Proverbs 18, verse 1. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Now look at the screen if you didn't. Read along with me. Take it in. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Church, listen to me. Isolation is the enemy of wisdom. Did you hear me? Because a lot of us need to hear that this morning. We don't believe it. We don't, whatever it is, we buy the lie that living alone, living by ourselves, doing life our way is okay. Read Proverbs 18:1 one more time. Does that sound okay to you? Does that sound like the godly path of wisdom? Now, isolation is the enemy of wisdom. Isolation invites pride. It invites bitterness and confusion and chaos. I mean, maybe you've witnessed a 2 to 3 year old child and they're on the floor and they're trying to put this puzzle or this toy back together again and they're working so hard at it. But you know they're not going to be able to do it alone. So you think you're being nice and you say, "Can I help you with that?" To which you get the glare. "No, I do it myself." Anybody been there? It's been a few years at my house, but I remember those days. They're trying to build up this independence, right? That they can do it themselves. But as we mature, hopefully, as we grow older, we begin to realize that we do need help from time to time. That we can't do everything by ourselves. That we need the help of others to share life with. But isolation also goes against our created nature. In the beginning, God said, "Let us create mankind in our image." And as we studied earlier this year, God's nature certainly is complex. However, we do know that God is a divine community. At creation, all three were there, three in one: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God has created us in His image. And a part of that understanding is this: it includes this deep need for the type of community that is a part of God's nature. And so if God is a community three in one, why would He create us to live alone, to walk alone? No, He wouldn't. That's why it's a part of our nature, it's a part of our created being to be in relationship, to be in community with others. And as Nick was talking about at the Lord's Supper time, Jesus is our model here. When Jesus began His ministry, there were thousands upon thousands of people following Him because He taught as one that had authority. He was doing these miracles and people were following this rabbi from Nazareth. But you know, Jesus knew that it was important to not just be followed by many, but to have a close circle of friendships who encouraged Him, who strengthened Him, who walked with Him. So He had His disciples, and He had intimate moments with His disciples. But if you know the gospel stories, you know that Jesus also had three: Peter, James, and John, who were extremely close with Him. And for whatever reason, He felt it necessary, felt it important to take those three with Him to certain places to experience certain things. Jesus knew the value and the wisdom of community. The New York Times in December of 2016 came out with an article titled, "How Social Isolation is Killing Us." It showed research on over 70 studies, 70 different studies. Here's just a very executive summary of some of the conclusions that were drawn. Socially isolated individuals are more likely to have disrupted sleep patterns, altered immune systems, more inflammation in their bodies, and higher levels of stress. And due to these kind of physical consequences to social isolation, these studies showed that these people had a 30% higher risk of dying in the next 7 years. That's a pretty high percentage, don't you think? The article finishes with these words: "All told, loneliness is as an important risk factor to early death as obesity and smoking." Community is important for a lot of reasons. But hear me on this. Listen, there is great value in you pouring into someone else. There's great value in that. But there is also abundant significance when you allow someone else to pour into you. Are you following me? Because we don't do that well. I don't do that well. Many of us are servant oriented. We follow Christ, and one of our gifts, one of our pleasures is to serve. We want to love well. We want to pour into others' lives, and God bless you for that. Continue to do that. But when something comes wrong in our lives, and we're all of a sudden vulnerable, we're in a place of hurt or pain or loneliness or fear, or whatever it is, and somebody comes to you and says, "Can I help you?" What's our response? "I'm fine. Thank you. I've got it covered. You remember my bags from Easter morning?" And we carry them around with us like weights, and we're fine. The wise teacher of Ecclesiastes wrote these words: "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Now, let's not make this too complicated, right? The wise teacher Kohelet of Ecclesiastes, he makes it pretty clear here. Two is better than one. You following me so far? And then, oh man, mind blown. Three is better than two. Now, I don't know if you're following that Ecclesiastes equation. Not too difficult, right? But we really like to mess it up. We like to go solo. Two is better than one, but three is really better than two. And if the triune God is one of those strands woven tightly between two others, not only will it be a beautiful tapestry, but it'll be a bond that is not quickly broken. One of the most beautiful pictures of the church is this tapestry of people from all walks of life being held together by the power, wisdom, and love of God. But it is just, frankly, impossible to be a part of this tapestry unless you insert yourself into the fabric of the community. Did you hear me on that? And this is not age specific. If you've been here for 40 years at Alta Mesa, you may still feel disengaged, disconnected, unnoticed. And some of that's on us as your family, but some of it's on you. I'm going to read that statement one more time. It is impossible to be a part of this tapestry, this beautiful fabric woven together by God, unless you insert yourself into the fabric of the community. And that's why at Alta Mesa, from the moment you walk in the door, from the moment you step in, we highly encourage you to get involved in a group. We want you to find your place of belonging here. It's not just a saying on the wall that we want to be. We desire to be a church of love and belonging. We want you to find your place of belonging here. And so, it's never too late to get started. It's never too late. Maybe it's the summer Bible class that's coming up in the chapel. You can read about it in Alta Mesa Life this morning. It's a class that's geared toward starting new relationships, deepening old friendships. And for some of us, we just need to learn each other's names. And so maybe it's attending this chapel Bible class this summer. Maybe for you it's participating in Look Who's Coming to Dinner. You've been skeptical in the past, but you've heard your friends talk about it who went and they loved it. Maybe this year is your year to participate. Or maybe it's teaming up with some of our volunteers in a ministry group. There's no better way to be involved, to get plugged in, to find your place of belonging in community than to partner with others in a ministry group. Did you know our campus crawls with people every week? There are people from our community that come on our campus every single week. And you can be a part of the volunteers that welcome them here, pray with them, serve them a hot meal at Tuesday lunch, or help them carry their groceries over at Neighborhood Needs. Maybe you need to join our teachers in the children's hallway, be a helper. Help Andrea out in some way on Sundays or Wednesdays. Hey, VBS is coming up. Maybe you could be a part of that team. Did you know it takes over 100 volunteers to make VBS work? And there's a lot of different ways in which you can be a part of a team of people that make VBS work. And did you know as you work together as a team, guess what happens? You start to build a bond. You've inserted yourself into the fabric of the community and you start to feel God interweaving you with others into the fabric of the body of Christ. And this is not easy. It can be difficult, especially for those of you who are introverted. It's harder to put yourself out there, right? I'm married to one, I understand. But Tara works really hard to put herself out there in certain groups so that she doesn't feel like she's walking alone. I encourage you to do that too. Whether you've been here 2 Sundays or for 10 years, insert yourself into the fabric of our community here, because we are family, and families don't walk alone. I recently asked one of our newer young families, Thomas and Ellen Kyle, here's a picture of them with their little girl, Amelia. Asked them about their journey here with us at Alta Mesa to go deeper into community. And I pray that their response can be multiplied repeatedly as the experience for all of us that are seeking a greater sense of belonging here at Alta Mesa. I want you to listen to what they wrote. They said, since joining Alta Mesa, we have felt a realness in the community. Before, we definitely fell into the trap of isolation from church other than the Sunday morning hello. The temptation of isolation can be great for introverts, but we have had wonderful opportunities to come out of our isolation. Re-engage, which was our marriage enrichment program that was from January to May. Re-engage was a great tool for our marriage and for developing close ties to friends. We formed wonderful connections with fellow brothers and sisters who also are actively pursuing God in their marriage. Through Re-engage, we were able to see the genuine authenticity Alta Mesa provides and strives for. We were finally able to be vulnerable in a church home, a safe place, with welcoming arms and no judgment. Such a breath of fresh air. It is so much easier to see God's hand in your life when you choose to surround yourself with people who all have the same goal of oneness with the Lord. As it says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now listen to the way they close it. Without the community, there is staleness, but with it, there is knowledge and growth. In addition to developing healthy friendships, real quickly, I just want to close by saying we each need to invite wise counsel from people that we trust into our lives. if we take ourselves too seriously, if we get angry too often, if we're being overcome by this consuming envy, or if our demeanor is beginning to evoke question, if some of our behaviors are questionable, if we have an inner circle of people that we trust, they can hold us accountable to who it is we want to become and where it is that we want to go. Listen, if all we do, and some of you need to hear this, if all we do is surround ourselves with yes men and yes women who tell us what we want to hear, then you're not doing what I'm talking about. You need people in your life that are chasing after Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and who have the gumption, who have the boldness to look you in the eyes and say, the way that you're living right now is not okay. The way that you're treating your spouse currently is not as God would have you do it. You're spending too much time at work. Cut it out and set your family in the right priority place. And most recently, for me, after a ball game, Stephen, don't laugh at me. After a ball game, my assistant coach said, you need to be a little less upset with the boys when they make a mistake. Right to the heart, right? I said, you're right. I'm going to work on that. But I need your help. Will you help me? Just give me the look. We need people in our lives who are willing to sharpen us, to correct us, and to encourage us along the way. So who is it in your life that you trust? And if you're thinking to yourself, well, yeah, I got nobody. That's okay. Don't panic. Pray about that first. And then think to yourself, who is it that I want to become in Christ? Where is it that I'm headed? The kingdom of heaven, right? And as I look around this family, who can help me get there? Start with them. Ask them to be one of your people that you can trust. One of the people that I trusted with my whole life, who's gone to be with the Lord now, he said to me one time, he said, show me your group of friends, Micah, and I'll show you your future. That's a wise person, right? There's some wisdom in that. Show me your group of friends, and I'll show you your future. Could I encourage you to put someone at the top of your friends list? His name's Jesus. He's your friend. Maybe you've ignored him lately. Needed to get back centered with your greatest friend of all this morning. He's calling you. Come home. Come, let's walk. Let's talk this out. Let's be together again. Let's walk hand in hand. So if you need to recenter your life in the Lord this morning, don't leave here without doing that. We'll have shepherds in the aisles. I'll be right down here to pray with you. We would love to encourage you this morning. If you have made the decision to give your life to the Lord in baptism, let's do that before Bible class. That would be a great joy. If you need to respond to the Lord in any way, do it while we sing this song. Let's stand and sing together.